What's happening? This is 9/11, and you are tuned in to AVG Podcast. And I have half of the best chiropractors in DFW. I got Dr. Toya dropping in with me with a sports hat on today. How you doing tonight, Dr. Toya?
Hello, hello. It's you've been trying to get his back on here for like a good year and a half.
I know. But that means y'all just been booked and busy. So that's good. That's good. That's good problem to have. That's good problem you have time for. You know, we coming on tonight. We're going to talk about a little bit of women's college basketball because it's been heating up with women's college basketball. And it's like dominating the airwaves right now. And it's been an interesting season. So before we even get to the tournament, tell me a little bit about your basketball. Didn't you have to play a little basketball? Tell me a little bit about your basketball.
We did play basketball. Nothing like crazy. We didn't play in college or anything. We just kind of stuck to the books after that. But definitely tried to keep up. Definitely used to go to all these. Like when we were in Texas, we used to go to all the games. Mm-hmm. It's just something that's always been like near and dear to our hearts. So we do try to keep up. And even now, like, you know, we work with high school basketball teams. More so girls than boys. Mm-hmm. So it's been cool to kind of like just be in the thick of it with them and like watch them grow.
It is crazy right now. Like, what do you attribute, though? Because it seemed like now, it hadn't been like that in the past, but it seemed like women's, especially college basketball, sports, I mean, the pros, I still think the WNBA could use a little more exposure and a little more, but for some reason, the college game has gotten hot. What do you attribute that to versus like the men's side?
That's a great question. I feel like you had like some really great players come through. Mm-hmm. Over like, I mean, we've been having great players go through, right?
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Like, I think specifically over it within the last like 5 or 6 years, you've had some talent that's come through that's just like, okay, they're captivating to watch no matter what audience. So I think that probably has a lot to do with it. Also, the way that they, you know, rebranded certain things, I think has definitely helped increase like viewership and like sponsorship of and coverage of them. So
I'm going to tell you what I think. Now, this is my theory.
Yeah.
For the women's side of the ball, you know, it's really not. You can go to the league after 1 year. But for the women's side of the ball, it's like back in the day, you kind of got to know college players a little bit more. They stayed a couple years. So you kind of had a story. It's like each team throughout the women's game, you had a storyline because you got to know those young ladies for a couple years. Hey, they were on this championship team. They transferred from this school. They played against this team for the championship. So it's, I feel like it's more storylines, and I don't want to call them characters, but they're interesting young ladies, or they got like, it's a lot of big personalities. I'll say that.
Yes.
And to me, the guys don't stay around long enough for you to even learn a personality anymore. It's like, if they are good enough, they go into the league. So you don't hang around. So that's my theory on it.
That's very true. Because sometimes, you know, these stories take a little while to develop. I mean, even, you know, look at like Paige Beckers, for instance, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, she's been there, missed 57 games, right? But then still in the back in the Final Four. So like that, I think you had time to like, as a journalist, you had time to really develop some good content if you do want to put that out there and make that storyline. And like, you know, kind of have like this whole like Cinderella thing, like, oh, she, you know, she started out really good, like won like number one, like was she like number one coming out of?
Yeah, she was like, what they were talking about with Caitlin, yeah.
Yeah. And also, I hate that she missed so many games because it would have been crazy to see how. I mean, but also, she's on a different team. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I don't think that even with Paige's talent, I don't know. Like, she's crazy talented, so I'm not saying anything to her, but I don't know that she would have done the same thing that Caitlin did with Iowa. Because you have to have a specific setup in order for things to go how they went. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
The team dynamics will be different.
Now, tell me this. Now, going into the season, you know, South Carolina had lost. Everybody had lost their whole starting five. LSU defending. Who did you pick have coming out like early on in the season? Who were you already looking at?
Early on, to be honest with you, I didn't know how it was going to shape up because early on I was like, man, like Caitlin Clark is like obviously still doing her thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's one of the greatest women's basketball players that we'll, you know, ever see.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, looking at LSU, seeing the things that was kind of going on with their team dynamic, I know like Angel missed a couple games, and just like how, you know, media, you know, trying to now, like, you nobody really knew who you were. Now everybody knows who you are.
Yeah.
Kind of making you a villain. So like, kind of like leaning on a mental health aspect, like, okay, how are they going to perform? Like, how are they going to get over these obstacles? That is a little bit larger than it was maybe last year, because now you are defending champs and people still are villainizing y'all for like whatever, you know, like whatever reason they have, right?
Yeah, whatever the reason is.
I'm not gonna go too far off into that. But yeah. Like, and then South Carolina, you know, like, okay, yes, we have lost everybody. And I didn't know. I really didn't know. It was like a toss up for me. It wasn't until probably about like midway, I was like, yeah, South Carolina will take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know they said the revenge tour, but we were like, we really
gonna
see it. Like, I was like, okay.
Yeah, and that's how you close it up. But look, I'm gonna tell you this. I had already said, if LSU gets knocked out, I'm pulling for Dunn. Can you just speak to like just what her leadership and what it is looking at her to go undefeated this far and only losing 3 games? And like, I forget what is a crazy number, like 173 games. I don't know, whatever the number is crazy. Can you just speak a little bit about Dunn, about what she's doing over there in South Carolina?
So in my head, because you know I teach school, right? So in my head, I'm like, Dawn is my bestie. Anytime my students would ask me, they're like, hey, like, who do you have? I was like, I'm going with Dawn. Like, Dawn. In my, like, Dawn is my friend.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, even though I've never met Dawn, she's my friend.
Yeah.
And so she just has this, like, this little swag about her. I don't know. You can just tell that she really cares about her players. And it's not
I love
like
it.
They do on the court. She cares about the best people. And I'm sure most coaches do, but hers is like, it's just like she exudes it. And I think a lot of that is a tribute to like how she was talking, you know, yesterday after the game, like the God that she serves, right? Like it's just like, you can just tell like how great of a person she is and how she really just wants to uplift the sport, uplift her girls, and like really see them win and like make them be dedicated to it. And making them like whole, complete players too. Because she's like, you're not gonna come here and you're not gonna like, you know, you're not going to be averaging like 30 points a game, because that's not the style of basketball that we play. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to play offense, you also going to play defense. And so like her defense in mind, I think, is what really like kind of sets her apart. Because nobody wants to play defense.
In my opinion,
nobody really wants to play
defense. That's facts. That's men's game and women's game.
Yeah. And you know, I know that even like if you look at the NBA and like how their rules have changed over the past, what, like 10-ish years or so? Like, it's more European style. And like, is it, you know, for a faster play, nobody's really playing defense. And I know sometimes it's just, oh, well, you know, it's less injuries and stuff like that. I don't really know. I haven't really looked at the stats on that, but I think it would be interesting to research.
That would. Sure. And I'm going to tell you something else, like a lot of that you touched on with Dunn. Is the way I see her, well, the way I feel about her is that it feels authentic too. It doesn't feel forced. You know what I'm saying? Like you say, that swag, everything about her when she speaks, you know, reference of religion, it seems authentic. Nothing seems like I'm trying to do this for the crowd, for the camera, everything. She just seems like a real authentic person. So I salute Dunn for her leadership. I love that about her.
So when I think about her, one of our best friends, he always says, I can only be myself. And I feel like she shows up authentically as herself in every single room that she walks into. She's not gonna try to like, you know, fit some narrative that you have for her. She is going to be her, and like either you accept that or you don't.
Now you seen that a lot of these players are declaring for the draft now.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a very interesting class. So you got Kaitlyn, you got Angel. She say she going. I think Cardosa's came out and said she was going, right? So out of all the young ladies that you seen in the tournament, who game do you think makes an instant impact and translate faster? Because all of them are different in their own right.
They are.
So it's going to be crazy to see.
Because what's the other girl? Cameron Briggs. She's going to.
She's going. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, man. That is very. That's. Okay. That's a really hard question. Okay, for me, I love the way Camila Cardoso plays. Like, yeah. I really love her.
She got that true big man game, like that old school, like I'm putting it on the, I told my wife the other day, I say she does not miss no shots on the backboard, like none. Fundamentally sound. She turns around over the shoulder, off the backboard. Bucket.
I think that depending on which team she goes, she could really make a big impact, like almost immediately, because the way she plays, she's going to play both sides of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
She's not afraid to go in and get like the, you know, the offensive rebound. She's not afraid. She's also 6'7". So it's like,
can't coach 6'7".
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's really gonna guard you?
Exactly. So Now, I'm going to tell you something else that's been circulating. Now, I know you've been seeing, too, that a lot of, like you said, you can't take away what Kaitlyn done. Amazing player. A lot of the GOATs in the sport, some of the older ladies are saying that, can you be considered a great without that championship? I got my opinion on it. I want to hear your opinion on it. What do you think? Can she compete? Because they was like in separate rooms. Now, you got your greats, but you got the ones that get it done and won. So, what you think?
I understand both sides of the argument. Because, you know, growing up, like, watching the NBA and stuff, too, there are some greats in the NBA that never got a ring.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it is something special that you can't deny. Like, you know, you finished without a championship ring. Like, and I appreciate all the attention that she has brought to women's basketball, because without her, nobody would have been watching, like, at the depths of the shit.
At the depth, yeah. You got to give her props
on it. So I think, you know, she definitely kind of entered that space, mm-hmm. and made it like, oh, everybody wants to, like, watch and see what's going on with women's basketball. She definitely brought a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. And for, like, I thank her for that. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the WNBA. Because now you're going to be on a team with even more talented people than what you've been playing with for last week. No shade to her teammates. Like, mm-hmm. she has great teammates, but she's also a great playmaker to make them look good and highlight, you know, like, hopefully I'm not missing layups and wide open threes if y'all mm-hmm. have all day, because you're drawing a double or triple T. But now the landscape is kind of changing. So it's going to be interesting.
It is. Now, going back to Dunn with South Carolina, you still got a couple freshmen I've seen in some other places, yeah. but she has a core that some of her main contributors in that championship game were freshmen. So mm-hmm. what do you foresee next year? Like, can she run the table again? Because it's like, I'm going to tell you where she's getting to that space at. She's getting to that space kind of like, you know, that Nick Saban space where you don't have mm-hmm. to recruit, where your second five is better than the first five of most other schools you're going to play on a night-to-night basis. So she's entering that realm now. So do you think she can run the table again next year with the freshmen? Because what's her name? Flo Wills? Flo Wiley? Oh, my. She is sick, Tessa. She is sick.
Yeah. I think that she possibly could. I mean, that's a little bit too early to tell, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think she has the key pieces there that she needs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just crazy to see. I love South Carolina, but Dawn is definitely a person that Gino serves with. Like, she has
she's the in, potential. Yeah. She's the only threat I see right now.
Yeah. And see, a lot of people, like, I feel like a lot of people who are starting to watch now, they don't understand. Like, I've been watching UConn since, like, early 2000s. Like, our dad used to make us sit there and watch. And I'm like, Gino was that guy. Because Gino
he was
that, like, you know, yeah. Super. I am
Taurasi.
Like, even Hayes Bennett. Like, you have to go back with him.
You
and
do.
Really evaluate how Gino.
You got to pay homage to him. Because he looked like a godfather. That's what he is. He's the godfather with his basketball. Right. Yeah.
Right. So, Gino is that guy.
Yeah.
As far as, like, women's work. I mean, also, you know, your past time is difficult. So, another shit that there. But I'm talking about, as far as, like,
another legend.
The people who are still here now and still coaching.
Yeah.
Dom definitely has that potential.
Yeah. And it's like, it's amazing to watch because it was so quick, the turnaround she made, because that wasn't even a bad, you know, you have certain schools, like how you say with the Penn Summers and the Tennessees, the Genos and the UConn, that you already identify basketball with off rip when it comes like the women. But she turned the school around that didn't have that legacy behind it. So that was makes it even more impressive. So I don't know. It's been fun to watch. Now, hold on, because we got somebody that's saying, pump the brakes. You know, we're not just going to give them trouble. What about Juju? Over there at US, you love what you think about her game? Okay.
I really do. I think she's a very fun player. She's mm-hmm. young. I was sad to see her exit how she did, but you know,
me too.
Give it to UConn though, because UConn, like, fighting through all the injuries they had was like
that was players. Crazy. And main players,
crazy
to get like, what they did. Yeah, that was crazy.
It's gonna be interesting to see a healthy UConn team.
That's
and
true.
Then watch Juju continue to develop, because what she did this year was phenomenal. I feel like a lot of people slept on her because Caitlin Clark is just like the person that she is. But she wasn't, like, if you're looking at numbers, like certain numbers, she wasn't that far off for Caitlin.
She wasn't.
No,
she wasn't.
But
and when you look at her game, it's fluid too. It's She got a nice, like, tight gang. She knows what she's doing on that court. Hey, look, I see you know a little bit about your history. You talk about some of the old UConn greats. Now, like I say, immediately, you know, they start kind of having that, you know, just good banter. Is Kaitlyn a goat? Is she not a goat? Is she one of the great? Growing up, who were the ones you looked up to? Who you and your sister watching basketball? You were like, man.
Oh, my gosh. So many. We Lisa Leslie, obviously.
That was
Tamika Catchings.
That was a good one.
Swin Cash. Yeah. Diana Smotsi Silver. Candace Parker, obviously.
Parker, yeah, that's Candace a good Parker. Tennessee, yeah. Yeah.
That was like, I mean, we grew up in that era with them. So like,
did y'all catch any of Maya Moore? Were y'all
Maya Moore, yes, I mean with Maya.
Yep, Maya Moore dog too.
Maya's some special.
Yes. Yes.
We've seen it, but I guess unlike the rest of the world, you know, people don't know. Like even some of the, I feel like a lot of the younger players really don't keep up, and they don't know.
Yeah.
Like the history of, they know what's now, or even some of our friends, especially I feel like men, because they don't, like, if you don't watch girls basketball or women's basketball, you don't.
You just don't know. And I'm gonna tell y'all now, if y'all not tuned in to women's basketball, y'all are missing the tree, because this ain't like the game for even, like, you know how the men's game is evolved. Like, it's women on the court now that I see that will. Now, speaking of that, I was about to say, could play with men. Ice Cube, what's your opinion on that? Did you hear about that?
Yes, I did. Him offering Kevin Clark $5 million to play in the Big Three.
$5 million to play in the Big Three. What's your thoughts on that?
I think that, you know, I know that Ice Cube had that whole thing. So my thoughts, okay, this is when I first heard it. I was like, I know he wants to compete and he has more money to pay her than the WNBA.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be interesting. I think it'll definitely draw a crowd, because wherever she goes, she's going to draw a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
We know she's going to get endorsed. She already has endorsements. I mean, like, her NIL deals, like, you can't turn on TV. You could not turn the TV on during March Madness and not see her.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what she does. Did she already decline it? Because I know during the tournament, she was like, I'm not talking about this right now. Like, I'm going to focus on trying to win.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm open to it. I just don't know how it would work necessarily, unless he gets like more people. But I don't know. We'll just see. I think maybe they can set up like a skills match or something. But like, I don't know. I would have to see the logistics, learn a little bit more about the logistics and how she's trying to do that.
What? That's spoken like a true doctor. She said, I need to hear the logistics of this. That's a good answer. Now look, we're gonna end it on the overall tournament. What was your overall perception of the tournament? How was the tournament for you? Like, leading up from the first, I know it was exciting, but the last few rounds, you know, we had questionable calls, we had some games that looked like they were, you know, up for grabs, but the refs helped them out. So what was your overall, how did you feel like the tournament went?
Okay, so as far as the tournament, and it looks like we have a guest appearance.
That's
your other show here. For me, I think in the last game, I saw something that I hadn't seen the whole tournament as far as when Iowa was playing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I just missed it, because I'm not going to say I saw every single minute of every single one of their games. But I noticed that the announcers actually started saying, oh, Kaitlyn Clark got away with this call. And I had never heard them say that before. And I was like,
I noticed that.
Asking me right now.
Yeah.
Because don't get me wrong, they are a very talented team. I'm not trying to say this away from them. I feel like some of them could get nominated for a Golden Globe. Deserve a daytime Emmy, an Oscar for some of the performances. They know how to sell it. Some of it was a little bit looking, reminded me of Anderson Bearshout before the flock rolled out and saved it.
Hold on. Look, let me tell you. Let me tell you about one of the calls, though, that you're talking about. Did you hear when the announcer said, I think it was number 24. When she stepped through the lane, almost did a Euro step, and they parted the lane, and they say, well, did anybody touch her? It was like, they were even looking like, hold on now.
They said she got pushed in the back, and I was like, wait a minute, where?
Yeah, they was like, I think they totally missed it. They didn't want to say it, but it was like, it was so obvious. When you slow it down on replay, you can't. Like, we see what you see, so go ahead and say it.
You're right. I think some calls are definitely questionable, but I do feel like as far as like the caliber of teams that were playing, it was probably like the most evenly matched called game that we saw.
It was.
Like, if you call something like very like out the way, then it was trying to fix. I feel like they were trying to fix it on the other end and make up for what they just did. Mm-hmm. It was more even. I'm not gonna say it was like 100%, but it was more even.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, like, you know, I know Caitlin Clark draws attention. I think even the final four game was like 14.3 million viewers or something like that.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And I'm very happy for the sport. I pray that that continues, and mm-hmm. I pray my hope and my prayer is that not only does it continue, but we start to see more Black women on some of these commercials. And
very true.
If you had never watched women's basketball, this is what we've been saying the whole tournament.
Very true.
If you had never watched women's basketball until this year, you would have thought Iowa won the national championship last year.
Thanks.
Because of the number of commercials that Caitlin Clark won.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying anything against her, but they still didn't win the national championship.
That's fact.
So, and we've seen Donna commercials. I want to see more girls. I want to see more people who look like me on some of these commercials.
That's true.
They have been holding this sport down for a very long time.
Yes, indeed.
And they deserve that recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to be interesting. Now that Caitlin Clark is graduating, you know, who are we going to turn to?
Who are we going to prop up now? Yeah. So let me ask you this, though. Now, with the NIL and all that going on, and, you know, LSU, they capitalized on it major after their championship. Angel been everywhere. I love that because she getting her coins. And then Flaje, you know, she doing her thing on the court and in the booth. I love Flaje, right, too.
I love Flaje.
I just got to revisit this game with some basketball heads because I want y'all opinion on this. Did she get out coach? Was that just a bad game plan? Because I feel like we could have advanced past them.
You know, for me, I didn't understand some of the things that were happening during the game. I'm not exactly sure. I felt like they could have been crashing the boards a little bit harder. I know there was like a little bit of foul trouble. I feel like there could have been some switches on defense to where they could have been potential to maybe guard Caitlin Clark a little bit better.
That's what I was thinking.
You're not going to stop her.
You're not going to stop her.
Because if we look at the breakdown of what Nika Buell and Raven Johnson were able to do, the thing that for me is that this is what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you press her and make her work full court, it was almost, I don't know if you noticed this, but on some of the plays, like, it was like if she had to work to get the ball more so than what she was used to working to get the ball, she would kind of just freeze and stand it.
And get frustrated.
Just stand it. And like she wasn't moving. Like I'm like, you're off ball movement. Stop. Like everything. Like you, it was like a frustration. You could see a visible frustration over her, at least in my opinion. And so that was interesting. And I feel like that was the key because now, like, you're making her work hard to get the ball up, you're making her work hard off the ball. And that's not something that she was used to doing, or even her teammates were really used to doing. They're used to like, okay, Caitlin's gonna draw the double or triple. She's gonna kick it out on her because her court vision is unmatched.
Crazy.
You know, and then we're gonna sit at the post here for this wide open three or this wide open layup that she's about to give us. Mm-hmm. And so now, like, everybody was having to work a little bit harder.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they were getting tired. And I feel like one of the reasons that UConn couldn't pull it off is because with eight players, I think that if they had like even two more players to kind of like sub them out and give them like a little bit of a break, I think that could have been a different game too. Minus the red call at the end. I think they got a little bit tired and they weren't as aggressive on their end. But it was interesting.
Let me tell you why you could be a coach, because what you said was 100% right. Because see, Caitlin Clark game is predicated off movement, sort of like Steph Curry. She comes off a lot of screens, she gets a lot of free baskets, and she got killer handles, so she can step back and shoot it from the logo. But when she comes off, they got those screens that she comes off, they got them down pat, and she runs off two or three, and by the time she comes off, your closeout is not going to affect her because she shoots that good, especially when she's on. So when you have a team that's flight of feet and can get around those screens and come over the top and play them honest, it frustrated her. So what you were saying, let me find out y'all want to be coaches. I don't fit you two sideline.
Our dad used to make us focus on defense.
Yeah.
I'm a play. And so that was honestly my favorite part. I was like, I don't really care about how many points I got. Like, I want to steal the ball. Like, I want to create some other opportunities for my team to score, to get the ball back so that we can score on offense. And so I feel as if, like, yeah, if I'm your coach going into that LSU-Iowa game, I'm like, if I'm the LSU coach, I'm telling them, like, hey, like, we already know that you can't touch her. So, like, let's play as aggressively as we can off the ball.
Off the
ball. So that she cannot get the ball.
That's all I was saying. That's all I was saying.
Yeah, it was crazy, but shout out to Raven Johnson and Nathan Wood. They held it down.
They held it down. I'm talking about, because just like we say, like when people have a, you know, good offensive game, chasing somebody that with the movement of Caitlin Clark, that is exhausting. Like chasing a Steph Curry, that is exhausting. And to do that, and they were picking her up, excuse me, they were picking her up full court, 94 feet, like let's rock. Like you're not going nowhere.
And see, that's the thing. I feel like a lot of other teams in the tournament playing short game. They let her get the ball inbound. They're not pressing the inbound.
There you go.
Like, as soon as she comes across half court,
she's a three.
She can shoot. Yeah. How many times did we see her shoot, even with that UConn game? You know, because she started 0 for 6 in the first half. She was still throwing them up there, even though they were contested. And that's fine. Like, you have to just try to contain her. She was throwing the ball up, but, like, she was having to work harder because now she got to play you on defense. You just.
Exactly.
You tired her out. You stop her from getting the ball. But it's a. I feel like for most of the game in the tournament, she come across that court, she shoot the ball.
Letting it go.
The rest of the team is not really having to work.
Yeah.
You can switch the whole dynamic of this game to where everybody's going to be focused on what you're doing. Like, Hannah, what's her name? Hannah Stokey.
Mm-hmm.
She can just say, okay, you know, and then they're all running back. And I feel like they weren't having to work that hard. And that's another thing, too. Like, with South Carolina, you know that they can push the ball.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, and that. I really feel like at that second half, they were able to control the tempo.
Yeah,
and that's what you have to do with them, because just how, like, if you're running the ball back and forth, that's how Iowa is too. Like, you know, they're looking for that outlet pass. They always got somebody back. There's always somebody back, and people are not running with them.
Yeah.
And that, you know, they were deadly in the, like, transition.
But Seville game.
Seville game. Because, look, I did notice. Now, they got shooters, and they got – but a full court press did frustrate them. And I thought we could have played that a little bit more. But like you say, they always had that outlet. Because if you give Caitlin one person streaking, like her lead passes, like you say, her court vision is crazy. Her lead pass, and she puts it right in pocket where they either, like you say, going for the layup or you ready to shoot. So if they didn't mess that up, they were good. But getting it inbounds, they were having a lot of trouble and they would have to really fight and expend a lot of energy at one point.
Yeah, and I don't think the foul trouble helped them at all. Like, you know, it's kind of like, I think, you know, even though Don, I think, wanted to play them a little bit more aggressively on up front, obviously nobody wants to let her get 18 points in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, they adjusted. It's like more so about, like, how is she coming out? Which Caitlin are you getting? Are you getting unselfish Caitlin? Or are you getting Caitlin that's going to put the team on her back today? Yeah, figure that out.
There you go.
It's like, okay, how do we stop her from getting the ball? Yeah. Because I think they had a really good game plan with Bree Hall being on her first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bree Hall had the length. Don't get me wrong.
There you go. Yeah.
Raven Johnson played her like white on rice. Like, she was like, you were not going anywhere.
Anywhere. Yeah.
And she really loved it. Like, you could tell her tenacity. She was like, I'm not letting you get open.
Exactly.
If you even look at her, like, I feel like a lot of players get caught looking at Caitlin Clark's eyes, but she has, like, her court vision is so crazy, you can't look at her.
You can't.
Look at her face.
Yeah, you can't.
You gotta watch where she, what she's
asking. Watch the hips. The hips ain't gonna lie.
UConn and South Carolina were both in the passing lane.
Yeah, he played the passing lane.
That was
active hands.
Like, actually paid attention that they were denying the ball.
Yep,
like,
active hands.
What you gotta do. Like,
you got
it's
to.
It's textbook.
It's textbook.
You have to know the fundamentals to beat them because they are so good. And at some point, some teams are having to beat the rest too.
There you go. Now, look, let me text you this. So, was this lightning in a bottle this year, or can women's basketball sustain the momentum that they picked up? Because it's rolling right now. Like, everybody's tuned in. Like, for college basketball, it's like the women's ticket is the hot ticket in town now. Do you see these young freshmen, these stars here, carrying the torch and keeping this momentum going? Or do you think, like, we just had the right people this last 4 or 5 years stretch that kind of elevated the game? Because Caitlin Clark, like you said earlier, she's transcended the game as far as just, and it could be multiple reasons of why she transcended the game and getting pushed and elevated so lofty. And because I've seen some of this before, but I know sometimes it seems like everything is new now. But Do you think we have the people now in place that can push the torch and go forward?
I think there is talent. There's undeniable talent. Mm-hmm. But it's just a matter of if the media is going to cover it in the same look they have been covering it. Because when I think about Caitlin Clark and the media coverage that she has been able to bring, I almost think of it too as like this like Larry Bird type situation for the NBA, where we are waiting just to see like what is going to happen. Like all eyes is on him. All mm-hmm. eyes have been on her. But and there's other talented, like there's other, you know, granted, maybe they're not scoring as much as her. You know, that has a lot to do with how the team was building around her and, you know, the conference that they're in as well. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know that the media says, hey, we're, you know, do we shift and move with Caitlin and then we forget about women's college basketball? I think it's going to be really point. Interesting.
That's going to be a good
point. Mm-hmm. I feel like at the end of last year, they very much so made it a black, the media. Yeah. I'm not saying everybody was watching, but the media, I feel like they made it almost like a black versus white issue that carried into this year and only got built upon. Because even, I mean, we see like how the press was talking about LSU, like even in well into the tournament, I know it was retracted down the 30 debutantes.
That was wild. But, yeah.
So like even that's been edited now, but it was still put out there. So I feel like they want to make it like she's the hero versus kind of like a villain thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's how Iowa feels as people, or you know, and I'm definitely not saying that's how LSU is. Mm-hmm. But I think that's what they built it upon, like this whole like this divide. Like she came into women's college basketball and has done some amazing things, and you know, I can't say that. In the media's head, color doesn't play a role.
Of course not. Now, I will say this. To her credit, I will say she has downplayed and even spoke up for Angel Reese, I think, a couple times with the whole last year with the ring. Yeah, so I will say this. To her credit, she didn't just lay back and say, oh, you know, I could easily be quiet and just not say nothing. So I give her credit on that, because it was like you said, last year was like just a real just priority to make it like a black and white thing. And I like the way both players kind of spoke up. Angel even said like, hey, she's an amazing player. I can't wait to I might play with her on the next level. So I like that they kind of, you know, the younger generation, that's what I applaud them about. They're trying to break past these racial barriers, but we just got so many gatekeepers, you know, people of my age group and older that still hold on to those values. And when you hear certain terms like make America great again, you know what that refers to. So that just is what it is. But look, I appreciate y'all dropping in. I know y'all had a busy day. Look, before we end, we cannot be here in Dallas, Texas and not tell people what was going on during the eclipse today. Did you guys get to spin it together?
Or, we did.
You did? Okay.
We were at the office.
Did you have a proper eyewear?
We did. Yes,
okay.
Our patient bought us some of the eyewear, but we already had some.
Okay.
But he was like, he wants to make sure that we can all watch it because his appointment time was like, during the clips, like ended right.
That's what's up. Y'all got some good patience. So all y'all, I thought we were special. All y'all patience like family, huh? All y'all patience like family. That's what's up, though. Look, man, I appreciate y'all dropping in. Look, tell people where to go, you know, to find you. Let them know your handles and all that. You know how it go.
Okay, so our Instagram handle is the Blueprint Dallas. And then, TikTok, we're the Cairo 20s on TikTok. TikTok is not educational, it's just for the young ones. So don't get on there expecting to see anything.
Look, like, people might. What'd you say? No, I said people might want to see the fun side of y'all. They always see, you know, the treatments and all that. They might want to see the dances and everything else.
Oh, my God.
Y'all a brand, man. How many Mirror Twins people gonna know? Y'all a whole brand.
Okay, that whole thing, like, we got called a
lie.
If you look up on our post, like, it's literally liar, 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 liar.
Yeah,
like,
that was
lie. People were asking us for our
feet,
so
like,
I have never.
What? Do they think y'all AI generated or something?
I have no idea. No, I was like, y'all just need to go find the research because it's out there. Like, you know, we didn't make this up. Like, this is stuff that we have been, you know, told by the medical community.
Yeah.
It's out there for us to find. It's out there for y'all, too. Y'all
hey,
you know, I'm sorry
you
have never seen it in 7 years. Like, I've been
living
it for 30, so.
Yeah.
You know, it is what it is.
Drop their website. Tell them their website.
Oh, yeah. Our website, if you want to actually go learn about more about what we do, it's the
That's what's up. And y'all know how we always end it, man. Always visualize your goals. And after that, accomplish your visualized goals. 9/11, Dr. Tanya Toya. Gone.